sci-fi.
We talk a little bit about other shows.
Sci-fi After Party.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Sci-Fi After Party. It is just basically the post-show ramblings of us talking about whatever comes to mind after the regular podcast. So it has spoilers. We talk about different stuff every week. So just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, well, listen, we are not getting into the issue of whether or not it is possible or not. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that the world they created was believable.
Okay, you know? Okay.
You know, there are some stories. You know, and again, part of the artistry, in my opinion, of making a good science fiction story is, okay, you're taking us away, you're taking us to a world that doesn't exactly exist, but you're creating laws and rules that have to hold together. You know, you have to create a believable, consistent future or, you know, a space world or whatever. So if you're stepping into sci-fi, that's your first responsibility. You cannot have a clanging, inconsistent world that assaults the viewer while you're watching it. You know, that's going, look, this is, you know, but humans are in the future, but...
Stargate Universe.
Cat, look. You know...
Look, I'm sorry.
Listen, You want to do it? And listen,
no.
you know you got a room full of people that want to do this. I will do. You and I can just hijack.
No, let's wait because Eric wants to do SG.
But don't worry about Eric. He won't know. You and me, babe. You and me right now can do Stargate Universe by ourselves. And just,
okay. You know, I don't have an objection to that. My goodness. Stargate Universe.
Cat.
What a train wreck.
Cat, what in the world happened? How did he do that?
Okay. I have no words for what happened. It was so unfun. That was the least amount of fun that I've ever had since watching BSG. I don't know what they were thinking.
Okay. Now, to be fair, and I am...
No, fair. I want those 2 hours back. You better be glad I was drinking, because I want...
Kat, I'm trying to work with you. Let's be fair now. To be fair, I have not liked the pilot for Next Generation.
Make it so.
Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine pilot was awesome. Come on, you had Picard.
Look, the first 3 minutes was awesome, and then you're sitting there going, wow, they're cleaning up a space station for two... No, the first...
SGU felt like.
I'm going through now. I did not like the pilot for Galactica. I didn't like... maybe it just takes them a while to get... But Kat, that being said, they've done this
100 times before Stargate.
I know. Why haven't they figured it out yet? That they've got... Oh, there's so much. There was so much wrong.
Remember liking Atlantis when it first showed.
Oh, I did like Atlantis, though. But that's the only one. Like I said, out of all of these different series, Atlantis was one of the few pilots that came out of the gate that I really enjoyed.
If they're going to be like BSG, they don't even have no blonde glamazon to...
Thank you. Where was the hottie? I mean, you didn't have a T'Pol. Oh, I didn't like Enterprise pilot either. They didn't have a T'Pol. They didn't have a Seven. They didn't even have a, what's her name, Torres.
Lou Diamond Phillips for me. But he didn't say anything. He just sat there and it was like Teal'c.
Indeed.
And that was like the whole thing he said the whole time.
I honestly don't even remember the part. I know he was in there. I think I recall
seeing him. He just stood around.
Yeah, what were they doing? And, okay.
This is supposed to be a four-part thing, so, realistically, we're not supposed to make a decision on how we feel about it until next week. But I'm like...
2 hours?
Yeah!
You're killing me, people. You're killing me. All right, let's go on some more specific thing. Did you like the flashbacks?
You already laughing before that came out of my mouth.
All right, look. You know how I'm tired of flashbacks. All right, I am tired of flashbacks.
Well, these flashbacks suck bad, worse than like Defying Gravity. At least we had somebody's hair to rely on being longer to know that it was a flashback. But these flashbacks, it's a flashback because it's like the flashbacks were so immediate from, they were like the near future. And they had on the same clothes, they were in the same thing, and I couldn't tell what the hell was going on.
They even had two kinds of flashbacks, all right, because there was the one, so they're doing something dramatic, I'm saying with the faux quote, dramatic with the storytelling, where the story that we're watching is interlaced, you know, one on top of the other. So it's literally like the story that was a couple of days ago, and then the story as it is now. And
yes,
so
those I picked up on that.
Flipping back and forth. Okay, so you already got that insanity to deal with. Then they got the blown out, you know, backlit flashbacks, which imply even further back. So in other words, it's not the interlaced flashback. This flashback, and you can tell because it's got the bright background and the washed out.
You noticed one more than I did. I gave up.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Why would they do this? Why? And then you nailed it. You did it. What'd you say? Why did it start it like the last Starfighter? I was rolling when you said that. Okay. So yes, the world of sort of Stargate, sort of Atlantis, where we have our world's best scientists working on stuff. We're gonna put the code to the unlocking the ninth chevron into a video game. And then we are going to grab a burrito-eating kid to... Then they grab him. They beam him up to the station. And what do they say? Yeah, kid, your solution solved the problem of the Stargate. And so without involving you or thinking about it further, it's only been about 3 hours. We have implied or we are running your code in a Stargate that we're going to send 35 people through right now. So I hope your pajamas are ready. Let's go. Come on. Come on. You are killing me, Stargate. Why would you do this? It's so easy to make a decent show that makes some sense. All right, you are not going to.
Did we even understand the whole premise for the show is that wacky scientist Rush, because I remember his name because he's the crappy name, like the crappy group. He was obsessed with finding out why there's a ninth chevron on the Stargate and going to it or finding out what the purpose of it is. And so that's the premise of the entire show. That and that they get, I guess, lost in space or time, like Voyager.
Which time? They jump from station to ship to base to raggedy old ship. People falling out the Stargate. I said, oh my God, what is going on?
That show was a hot mess.
Oh my, okay, so, and let us not forget the whole sliders aspect that they have thrown.
Yeah.
Now, good screenplay writers know that the biggest crutch that you can put into an action series or action movie is a countdown.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
That we've seen it so many times before. Now, come on now.
I was literally tired when I saw the countdown. I'm like, God. Are you killing me, man? So now we're going to be lost in space. We're going to be leaving people behind because somebody is not going to come back because they're going to be messing around, messing with aliens. Somebody got to sacrifice themselves. Whatever, you know.
Yes.
They're going to be flying through the Stargate now because of the whole sliders aspect. Get over that, people.
And when they were falling through the Stargate at the beginning, I was feeling sliders like, Remy, you landed on my foot. Same, it was all of that stuff from sliders again. Because Stargate has always bitten off every sci-fi.
Yeah, you said that, yeah.
Everyone is out there. It's the one that they had even hinted at sliders in the past. This time, for God's sake, they actually just ripped off sliders. You know, the only difference is our vortex is set upright as opposed to just falling out of the sky. See, that's people. No, this is not.
Started to feel a little Stargate Atlantis to me because, you know, they have this, it's a big ship that we don't know anything about and we kind of have to roll around and unlock things and... It's an ancient ship. It's just like Atlantis in that, but it's on a ship.
Yeah, that's not better. Because at least Atlantis was cool. You know, Atlantis was held together. Sure, it was a little wet, but it was state-of-the-art, right? They're lumbering around in this old ship. They can't even close a door on this thing.
Without killing somebody.
You What did we say? The nemesis, the bad guy in this whole episode was a bad air filter. And what was the other thing?
The sludge, the bad air filter, and the ship, I guess, which is called Destiny, by the way.
Destiny. Your enemy in a two-hour premiere is a spaceship and a bad air filter. That is not a way to start. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for that kind of theory.
I think they were going to make us wait till next week to really get a full picture. Because I don't think that they... It just feels like they were really irresponsible with this premiere. I don't know what they were doing. And I feel guilty for not liking it. Because it's Stargate. And I'm like,
You want to give them a try. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, that's why I preface this whole thing with, I haven't liked the pilot, nearly any of this. So I'm going to watch them. I'm going to hang in there. And I'm going to try to tough it out. But okay, and what about the cast? Come on.
God, they are the most boring people that I've ever seen. The guy that's supposed to be the funny Rodney McKay, he's not funny. He's not Rodney McKay. We don't have a smart ass like Richard Dean Anderson. I mean, nobody, everybody's kind of dry and.
And poor Richard Dean. You see how they stood him up at the beginning of the episode? He looked like he didn't even want to be there. He's like,
yeah,
I'm back again. How you doing, kid? Yeah, we're going to send you to the spaceship. Can I go now?
Yeah, that's him. And it was kind of, he was like, either you're going to go or we're going to beam you and blah and blah. But yeah, I was happy to see him.
I was happy
that,
to see
that
him.
That made it kind of worth it the first, 15 minutes? And then after that, I was just
that wasn't enough. I was happy to see him, but he didn't make up the first 15 minutes. That has got to be the blandest array of characters in the beginning. Even with some of the other series that I talked about, I didn't like
Enterprise was pretty bland to me. I mean, to Paul, she was, I guess, the hottie on the series, but she was still bland to me.
You can look at the lineup. Just looking at the photograph of the beginning cast of each of the different series, and there's a little bit of, dare I say, diversity about them. You look at it, you can see that they got, they throw in a hottie alien, a cool android, somebody, that if they didn't have necessarily the cultural diversity, they at least had the species diversity. where you had a big alien or a robot or something. It's supposed to be science fiction, but crying out loud. Give me something, in the lines. I'm looking around. I don't even think they had any crazy psychics. And you know how useful they are. It's like, I didn't even get a psychic in this movie. Come on, why would you do this? Why? I don't know.
It is supposed to be dark and edgy. That's what they're describing it as.
And by that they mean slow and boring? Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah. I'm reading here that Robert C. Cooper says the essence of the story is that sort of fear and terror of a tragedy combined with the sense that there is hope for us in the basic ways in which human beings survive. Are you kidding me? Really?
Well, one really? Shining planet known as Earth. Yes, that's Galactica. That is Galactica. The All series is exactly the same premise of what Galactica was.
Oh. Increased levels of drama will still be balanced with humor to avoid pretentiousness. My ass.
I was waiting for the humor. I was really waiting for the humor.
It wasn't there.
Good
and evil will be less apparent. The ship will be populated with flawed and unprepared characters who were not supposed to be there.
Storyline will be less apparent.
There will be aliens, but not a single dominant villain race like the Gwauld or the Wraith. You know what?
That bodes well for a series, because I can't tell you how many sci-fi shows I've watched that kind of flailed around like that in the beginning, where they tried to make, the bad guy is us. The enemy is humans. And then eventually they say, okay, this is sucking. We got to throw in somebody. And then they come up with some, I'm serious. We've tried that time and time again in terms of storyline and plot. And eventually they always go back to coming up with some kind of supervillain to make things a little bit clearer.
I don't understand how in this economic environment they can justify putting on something that's damn boring. I mean, I understand, Battlestar Galactica was successful because we wanted to know how it ended. We could not go without knowing how it ended. This thing is just beginning. People might go for it, but...
I don't know, because new Galactica fans are very, very strong. They're very smart. if they sense that another series is coming along and starting to bite off all of the, you know, the energy and the idea of what Galactica was, and then not be Galactica, not be as cool as Galactica was.
Cool, we're using cool with Galactica now?
I'm set with the quotes. I'm talking about what they would say.
Oh, all right.
Say, you know, as being as gritty and real. But even still, you know, I can look at these two and compare. Of course, I prefer Galactica to what I've seen with SGU so far. Yeah. But it's, oh, man, this ain't right. They are not doing, no, there was so much not right here. And I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but. Oh, it was so heavy-handed. The crying scene with the daughter, everybody knew the dad was going to go out there.
Because he was a major actor. They can't afford him for the rest of the series. Of course he's going to die.
That's the other thing. I don't know how to articulate that, but you hit it right on the head. We as intelligent sci-fi channel fans can look at an array of characters, right? And if you are a high-priced, good actor, you might as well be wearing a red shirt. All right, we know that you ain't going to make it through the episode, or that you're just going to be, you know, you're going to do this here for a short time. But if you are an A-list actor, we're like, oh, we might as well not even
get a
chance.
That's why I don't understand Lou Diamond Phillips. What is this with him? I mean, he is popular, the most popular thing to me, aside from Dad That Died, out there, you know, the most recognized name, and he didn't say anything.
Yeah, the first, that is surprising. That is surprising. If he's supposed to be a principal, and, you know, if he's supposed to be a principal, and they're hanging on, trying to bring him, I don't know. I didn't like Rush, and it's not that I didn't like him because he was a nebulously moral character, you know, because I could go for Baltar. I thought Baltar was
boring.
Cool with that respect. He was boring. And think about,
I couldn't figure out if he was good or bad guy or crazy or what. I don't know.
That, I'll give him time with that again, just like Baltar. I'll cut him some slack with that. But think about the history of Stargate, right? Every time Jackson was trying to, trying to entertain one of his scientific pursuits, he had, like, no, seriously, he picked up a book, he found a book someplace. I wonder what this passage said. He got like 9 military dudes all on his back. You can't do that. We're not allowed to. It's a violation of such and such. This dude's got a Stargate, grabs the kid's code, got 30-some people going through the gate. Nobody's clear on it. All of that, you know, how he, as mad scientist Rush, has suddenly gotten all this authority and power. And see, again, I'm being consistent with the Stargate universe and the rules of what we've seen in Stargate. Military rules. The military, for the most part, has had control over what's going on. And if it was not the military, there was a big old board of people that made every major decision. And within that, you know, our kids would bend the rules or they'd steal an artifact or something. Mm. Within that, they'd get away with stuff. Not once did they have an entire base, an entire gate, an experiment of that magnitude that was just in one guy's hand who was kind of shaky too. No. That's not consistent. That is not working.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And the whole putting it in a video game?
Oh,
really?
Oh, no.
Maybe it was a wink, nudge, funny thing, but that's, what?
I think they're just trying to figure out what sci-fi series have we not taken from yet. There's got to be one out there. You know, what next? Crow? Is somebody going to have a flying boomerang at some point in the series? Oh, you know what, Dan? They did have the cameras.
Oh, my God, they did.
They did have the flying camera. I got nothing. You know, at this point, I cannot think of one sci-fi series that they have not ripped off from. And to be on the third of them now, you know, we did SG-1 for 10 years. Blatant, and from day one, they were ripping off everything. Atlantis, they did a little bit better, but you can still see it. Now
Atlantis got kind of boring to me, and then the last few seasons, I liked it again, but the middle part was a little boring. It felt like they were running out of stuff. Now with this, I mean, just to say, we're good, we're Stargate, but we're like BSG and Sliders and Voyager.
Atlantis is a little bit slow, and they reached the epitome of slowness when an entire episode was them falling into a hole.
I don't remember that.
Oh, shit. I
was like bored when they spent the whole show with Taylor singing. I'm like, really? You're killing me, lady.
Yeah, Atlantis hit a low where there's this one episode where the kids fall into a hole on a planet and they can't get out of the hole.
Oh.
And I'm just going, there's got to be.
Is that like baby Jessica fell into a street or something? Yeah, the well. What is that?
I So there's got to be some aliens or some explosions or something in this. The only aliens that appear were these kids that looked down the hole and said, hey, y'all in a hole. And they left. I was crying. I said, oh, people, come on. Atlantis is really, really. But after that, you know, like you said, that was sort of in the middle. After that, it got much, much better. But, you know, apparently the same people that wrote the In the Hole episode have begun SGU.
Oh.
That was... No.
I don't know. I think they're creating in a vacuum or something. I'm not really sure. You know, I really hate to not like this show because, you know, we've been so used to the cast and the crew and we know, kind of know them. Not know them, but we know how they work. We've seen their studios and how much work goes into producing a Stargate experience. I mean, they spend a lot of money. There's a lot of acting that goes in. Oh, we couldn't tell last night, but... Mm-hmm. Listen,
I mean, again, you are preaching to the choir here. I want to like this series, and I have a lot of respect for what those folks have been able to do in the past. And that's why, again, I'm so frustrated. If this was a Sci-Fi Channel movie, we would not, seriously, you and I, we would rag on it, and that would be it. We would not have to go, this is supposed to be, you know, one of their flagship series. And not only that, they've got a property that we all, as fans, that we all love, and that we all have a connection to. And for them to take this and I don't understand. I mean, I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm trying to understand what their intent was here.
Because if you're trying to get new viewers, you're not going to do it with that last night.
Yeah, but darn it. You know, you also want to hang on to the ones you got. And
either way, they didn't do it last night.
Exactly. I would think, you know, that with the exception of sticking the characters from the original series in it, that there wasn't a lot for the original fans of Stargate in here. In either series, I don't get it. I don't get it. And I agree, you know, as much money and as much time as they put into something like this, you want a hit right out the gate. You want something that pops. When you sit down and watch this episode, and, you know, even for Stargate, something that you haven't seen before, come on, give me something, you know, something that you haven't seen before. It was not doing it. This was very disappointing.
What do you think about this trend in science fiction trying to be less aliens, less camp, more realistic, more drama, more human blah blah? There's this really big, as you would say, heavy-handed trend to take the fun, in my opinion, and the escapism and the adventure out of science fiction and put all this whining and crying and backbiting, sleeping with each other, bull crap into it, and I am not enjoying it. Am I at the point where I should say get off my lawn and go take some Geritol? What is it?
The sex scene in SGU, the sex scene in SGU, was that not the most unnecessary thing? We got Shepard in Stargate Atlantis, right? He was the virile, you know, the virile. You know, military guy. The whole series, we knew that about him. He was the Mac. He was the Don. We liked Shepard.
I didn't buy that, but whatever. They tried to force that, but he just didn't do that for me.
At no time during the whole series did we see Shepard knocking it at any point in there, and we still knew that he was the Mac, right? 2 minutes into the pilot, we got, you know, military girl all up on the oven, the stove.
All his breathing and legs up. I'm like, oh,
that was so long. Far be it for me to put down a good booty knock and see. But so, come on. You know, you got to be a better way to show us that that's what that character is about. Come on. Okay, let me get back to answering your first question. What is up with this, you know, removing? For a long time, I think because science fiction has had access to, you know, the new computer technology, the new rendering and 3D stuff, that they have been all about the explosions, all about the aliens, because it's easy to make them now. You can make these big space battles. You can do all that stuff on a cheap budget. And so sci-fi for a long time swung too far to just the explosions, just these, you know, computer-generated aliens, just all that stuff. And people thought it was, again, a crutch that writers and people were going to. So now they're going the complete other direction. Yeah, we're going to have Cylons that, by the way, happen to look like people. Oh, we're going to, you know, go and explore space here, and they're going to be locked in a spaceship, but the real drama is going to be in between the characters. Think back to Twilight Zone original series Outer Limits, you know, all that stuff, even good old original series Star Trek, where all they had was reflective plastic, you know, light scratches on film, where they could focus on characters. They could create the idea of an alien. They could imply all of this stuff in an elegant.
Black on the right side.
Yeah, you know, look, that was heavy-handed. I'm trying to work. Come on now, work it out. But I'm seriously think about what the Twilight Zone was like. If you want to tell a story that's, you know, sort of science fiction-y, and it does have a human element to it, you can still do that and contain all of that good science fiction essence, that good space stuff. And now with the technology that we have, just a dash of that thrown in could make things go a long way. You don't have to become a soap opera to tell a story about people, just like Surrogates. That's why I liked it. I remember it was a husband and wife issue. It was a haves versus the have-nots. We've seen this story told in many, many different ways, but they used the fact that they had the surrogates, that they had the technology. They told that story in a different way.
Yeah.
In so much good science fiction, they can do this, and you can do it in the right way. But what the heck are they doing now? It's like, well, we're going to put all the computers on the shelf now, and we're just going to have the Gilligan's Island of space exploration now. No, there's something.
No, it seems like they want to say that space is just the scenery, and we're going to have people acting.
Well, look,
it's a backdrop and not a crutch, and that's.
We already did the Defying Gravity episode.
Right. And it's the same. I don't know. It's just not fun.
It's not fun.
I mean, do the young whippersnappers today not want to have fun? I mean, what? I don't.
Whippersnappers get.
You like that?
Are you 80? Come on.
Get off my lawn.
These kids today don't know what good sci-fi is in my day.
Well, I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm just saying, you know, usually when they do something new, it's supposed to be young and hip, and, you know, I'm willing to accept that maybe I'm not, you know, on the cutting edge of taste anymore, but for crying out loud, this is just sad. It's like, it's boring, and they're like, what's wrong with them? Why do they want this depressing crap?
Yeah, and you know, you have been rather.
Or maybe it's they're making it for older people. And maybe I'm too young to get it or something. I'm an immature, you know? I don't know.
Stargate, the Depends version.
Astronaut diaper.
If you found Atlantis too exciting, we've got the Stargate for you. Oh, man. It's Stargate Insure. Stargate undergarment.
God, that's awesome. Stargate
undergarment. I'm going to come up with one. Just give me time. I'm going to come up with one. Oh, man.
No. This feels like a nightmare.
Yeah. Like I said, we're going to give them time.
Because, you know, the movies that they make, the Stargate movies, the made for DVD.
Yes.
The first one was a little weak, but the second one was just, it kicked ass.
Continuum rots.
I
love that movie.
Thinking they can do that, and it was like, what, 2 hours? What happened here? Because.
They set the bar so high. They had a couple of those Stargate movies.
Yeah, the first one was eh.
I liked all of them, really. I thought they were fun. Man, they were exciting. They were so exciting. That time and Continuum, what they did with the timeline.
It was exciting, and it kept you going and all of that. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, they didn't have some practice with Stargate. They had made the DVD. It's going to be a 2-hour thing. Let's do it. And then we got a cute space battle, and then.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't. That is how they should have started this series. The characters should have been bigger and bolder. The action should have been, you know, I still don't get that flip-flop timeline thing that they were doing. That was really
It was
not
too cute. Yeah, it was way too cute. And I'm like, dude.
We're not stupid.
Your audience, we're not stupid. And so don't insult us by saying, well, you just didn't get it, and you have ADD, and you can't pay attention. You know, what? No. What are you doing?
Two types of flashbacks. That's all I got to say. Come on. Come on. That's crazy. That is crazy. Normal flashbacks confuse some audiences. So if they're trying to bring in a new crew, your diehard crew will go, what the, what's, wait, that's here and that's there and, the, oh, it, oh, no.
I don't care about the characters. Plot of the whole thing doesn't make sense. Like, Ninth Chevron, it seems like every other science fiction show just thrown together. Not that realistic. And it's not fun. It's not fun.
I'm afraid that underlying all of this is going to be some sort of large-scale conspiracy that, of course, Rush does not work alone.
Oh.
He's being sponsored by a shadow group, and some members of SGU are in on it, and they're working with Rush.
Can we just watch Flash Forward then?
Oh,
because
God.
I don't know.
Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah. At least they're clear about their flashbacks.
That was a way more, and you know, in retrospect, I hated that, but now
suddenly
SGU,
it's looking better. That's their goal. What they came out with SGU is to try to make every other sci-fi program look better, is what they're doing.
Man, it just felt like, dude, people are like suffering and don't have jobs and stuff, and you put some crap like that on, you wasted a whole bunch of money. I could have like tons of new shoes with y'all, the money that y'all wasted on that crap.
That's good, Ken. Bring in the economy. Yeah, no, they're starving people in America.
That's what it made me think of, because I was like,
auto
wow.
Workers that need jobs.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of stuff that you're putting out.
I don't know. We'll try it next week, and maybe at halftime of the season, we'll revisit.
Yeah.
And I'll lose some more time out of my life and try to give it, you know, a look.
We're going to try. Because, you know, even the pretty shots of waterfalls and people running towards Stargate, you know, the previews of what's coming up, none of that was grabbing me. None of that really, you know, said, hey, I got to watch this series or
something.
Well,
I can see how somebody said, ooh, we're going to see somebody naked in the water. Let's do it. And I don't understand, like, why would you watch Stargate for that? You could,
thank
I mean,
you.
There's tons of porn on the
thank
internet.
You.
You don't have to watch Stargate
no,
to see
no.
that. Why?
I don't get it. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Who knows?
All right. Well, I got an exclusive for you. I got something that I think you're gonna find rather interesting that I want to share with you.
Yay!
Okay, ready? Now, do not ask me the questions that you're gonna want to ask because I cannot.
Are you gonna let me down like SGU? Because if you do, we can just.
No. You're gonna like this.
Okay.
Well, let me just tell you what happened. Okay. Just a couple of days ago. You know how you and I are always talking about Sci-Fi Channel movies, right? And what is it they're up to? Why this is going on? Just a couple of days ago, I find myself across the table from a guy who is the producer of those types of movies. Not one, not two. He makes a lot of those kind of movies. And he's an awesome dude. He's cool. And I liked him a lot. But so I'm sitting there. And, you know, you can imagine in my head, the things that I wanted to ask, but I only had a moment. Like I said, I liked him a lot. He was very cool. He's a very cool guy, and I've seen some of the stuff that he's been able to do besides that. I was very impressed. So rather than attack him regarding that kind of stuff, I asked him one question. I only had time. I asked him one kind of question. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. He says, yes. I said, when you watch the Sci-Fi Channel and you see, you know, those Sci-Fi Channel movies that are constantly coming on. For years we've been seeing this kind of stuff on there. How does that work? What is the mechanism that allows that kind of thing to occur? How do they get the money? No, seriously. Because, you know, and I know he's made, I did not challenge his work. Man's got to have a job. He's done stuff for years. But my question was, what is the mechanism that allows for that kind of stuff to keep year after year, month after month, for them to keep pumping out that kind of stuff? How does that happen? And, you know, I was expecting some kind of a big, you know, well-thought, you know,
what had happened was.
What had happened with this as well, the economy. He said, no, it's very simple. I said, okay. He said, it's the ratings. I said, what? He said, that movie that came out just a couple of weeks ago, and you and I were talking about it, Kat. Remember, what was it, a Mega Shark versus Octopus or Super
Yeah,
Octopus?
Yeah.
He said, you should have seen the ratings on that movie.
He said,
ratings were off the chart for that kind of thing. He said, people keep watching them. He said, the Sci-Fi Channel will pay for that caliber of thing because people keep watching them. And that's the only reason. He said, people are just employed that way. There's a whole market for that kind of stuff, and they're going to keep doing it. And what I found, what's so sad about it is, now, you know, a property like the Sci-Fi Channel, everything that it is supposed to be, has been like it's supposed to have been connected with the fans in some way. I mean, and maybe this is, I'm sure this is just
you
my
sound mind. Like you live in a fantasy land.
I know it, but I mean, I have watched the Sci-Fi Channel from the absolute beginning. I remember, mm-hmm. When they had the crappy sets made out of styrofoam and tape. They had no interstitial graphics. It was just you were watching old episodes of
Sliders.
This is even before that. I'm talking about like old stuff, like episodes of Max Headroom and really old school stuff. I've been watching them that whole time, and I kept watching it because I was trying to support them as a fan. I kept thinking that if I watched, that they would get better. I kept thinking that if I watched, that they would, recognize and appreciate that.
You're an optimist. That's so cute.
I'm sorry. I gave them a couple of years. And so even now, when I watch the crappy Sci-Fi Channel movies, and I don't do it often. I maybe will only watch it maybe 3 times a year or something because they're just so bad. I watch them, and I keep watching them in the effort that I think, hey, they're going to get better. I want to see that they're making progress. I want to see that they are listening to the fans.
Well, they do bring on actors like the one we watched with Spike from Buffy, the one that we watched and we had to turn it off, the Western with the alien. And
oh, my God, that was awful. But see, just putting a stunt actor in it, somebody that we like, that's not – they need to be focusing on the story. They need to be focusing on all the other stuff,
But no, I guess the guy was saying, why bother doing that when the ratings are – people are going to watch it anyway, as is, as crappy as it is. I don't know where they're getting their information from.
Well, I'm sure it's a Nielsen thing. And maybe that is the question. They say, look, why bother making a good show? We can just keep shoveling crap and people are going to go out there and watch
Stargate
it.
Stargate Universe!
No, look, we're going to give them time on that one. We're going to give them time. I'm hoping that's going to get better. And it should not be in the league of, if it can eat a human, it's Sci-Fi Saturday. That's a whole different genre of stuff that we're talking about here. But I'm just saying what I thought was so sad about it is if they're trying to build up on the – if they're trying to build up the network, if they're trying to make the property of what, Sci-Fi is, that's so great.
Lord.
Why wouldn't they take a couple of those dollars and reinvest it to try to make these shows better? They're not – we sure ain't buying these things on DVD, right? Once they shovel out,
I would buy Mansquito on DVD. I would do that.
Yeah, but that's one show out of 10 years that they came out with. name another show because Mansquito is just so crazy, It actually had a flake of a flock different than other than Mansquito.
The one there was one with Jeffrey Combs, not the Reanimator, because they didn't produce that; they just distributed it.
That doesn't count.
But they did make another one with him in it, and it was really bad too. But might buy that just for gag or whatever. But seriously, as far as buying these things, no. Oh, that one with
hard to think.
Bruce Campbell made one, a couple of them, and I liked them.
Now, was this a Sci-Fi Channel?
A Sci-Fi Channel. It was Alien Apocalypse or something like that. I thought it was cute. So it's maybe 5, you can count on one hand the ones that I'd buy on DVD.
Yeah, and that's
you
over
sound
how
disturbed
much time?
Now.
yeah, your knowledge of Sci-Fi Channel B movies is beginning to frighten me a little. I got it.
Because, you said, I try to give them a chance, and sometimes I would just, back in the day, just turn on a Sci-Fi Channel and leave it on all day, and you just walk in a room, and there's something, and you stop, and you watch, but you can't do that because they have ghosts. Freaking Hunters. Nobody wants. I don't want to watch that. They
no,
have wrestling.
That,
yeah. Wrestling.
Ghost,
come
Ghost
on.
Ghost Hunters. Like Ghost Hunters. And what's that other one? Expedition Human? Or what's that darn one called?
I don't
where
know.
It's always, come on. There's this one where a guy always has a night vision camera and he's running around in the woods looking for Bigfoot. What's it called?
Destination Truth?
There you go. Destination Truth.
I've never seen that.
Hang on. Destination Truth and Ghost Hunters are one of the top rated shows on the Sci-Fi Channel.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I don't understand. I mean, so you see, when you're working with this, and, you know, that, and I don't know how wrestling is rating on Sci-Fi Channel.
They said it was doing well, and it brought in the type of viewer that they wanted, which was kind of insulting. I watch that channel and insulted by wrestling.
What's crazy about it to me is, doesn't it seem like all of the fans that like wrestling are the ones that beat up on the kids that like science
fiction? Right? It's a good match.
I mean, how is this supposed to be? I don't get it. It's like, we got the Lifetime channel followed by wrestling. What? That's not a combo that's supposed to work.
Maybe Sci-Fi is bringing the nerds and the jocks together. They are doing a service to humanity. Imagine greater.
You know what? That's Spike. That's Spike TV, actually. That is actually the only thing that I can see where that actually successfully works. But
But science fiction is kind of, when they have guns and explosions, that's kind of jockey.
Yeah, well,
you know?
If they have guns, explosions, and no plot, it's jockey.
Snob.
Oh, no, I'm saying. You know, they got to have balance in the episode. Otherwise, if it's guns and explosions with no plot, then you have Starship Troopers. And that's a whole different kind of a crowd that, you know, would embrace something like, oh, I don't know. So it was as much as we've talked about all this stuff and what's going wrong with Sci-Fi Saturday Night. It just shocked me that I found myself at the table with this guy. I didn't have long with him, but that was the one thing that I wanted to ask him. And it was sad that was the answer. I mean, here's the other thing, because maybe if I see him again, I'm going to ask him. He is a fan of science fiction. You know, he really likes, and he likes good science fiction. I'm going to dare to ask him if I see him again, you know, that when he was young and when he dreamed of science fiction, if this is what he imagined making, you know, when he grew up, if this is what he set out to become a producer to make. I think I'll ask him that. And because he's cool. He is a cool guy. And I'm thinking that he's got something better in him. So I'm just.
Well, now we don't have anything with flying ships, aliens. Is there a show out? Am I wrong about this?
Well, maybe V. V's coming.
Oh, that's having problems.
Oh, jeez.
They're only going to show they're going to do back in the day and show the miniseries and then show the TV show later.
Really? Oh, boy.
Yeah. So they are having some issues and I don't know. It may or may not be strong. And again, they've taken the aliens out because in the original, they did look human and then we found out they ate rats and had crazy 80s Diana hair. And
that was cool. That was, they were lizard people. They were lizard people. That was awesome. Yeah, no, I can't think of any other new sci-fi that's really jumping out like that. No, you're right. You're right. It's all good drama sci-fi set with humans against humans. There, we'll be able to explore the permutations of human interactions of good and evil.
I hate you right now. I really hate that.
I can hardly wait. This is the best that sci-fi has to offer these days.
Boo. Well, I guess we just have to see all that stuff in the movies, which blows because we have to pay for that. Take a gamble. Well, I guess we wrap it up. I didn't expect this show to be that long, but
yeah, that's because we have hope, Kat. We are trying to hold out for the best of what sci-fi is about, and
think we're suckers.
You may be right. Yeah. You may be right. I don't know why. Seriously, it's breaking my heart that we come to this. And you know, maybe it is that we're old now. You know, we could be
speak
just
speak for yourself,
it.
Fool.
No, listen, whippersnappers. All right, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe we come from a time where science fiction was supposed to be exciting, where, you know, aliens were a new thing, you know, killing robots were fun and exciting, and spaceships were really something that were core.
Exploring different cultures and species and
new worlds and new civilizations, bold elements, but no one has gone before. Could it be, Kat, that we have explored? have explored everything now, that we are all at the precipice of banality. Could it be that we
because people was like, oh, I guess nobody but, like, crazy people are still, you know, scared of other races and other cultures and stuff like that. So we've done all that, and now I guess the final frontier is, like, the brain and emotions and stuff.
Oh, which, God.
I don't know. That kind of sucks.
Well, that means that the future of sci-fi is Lifetime, and that is not going to
Well, they already, like, the future of fashion's on Lifetime, and that sucks.
Oh, this is not working for me.
Yeah, it's not working out. We're going to be hanging out with the dreads in District 9.
I'm telling you, shaking our fists, going, in my day, you can make good sci-fi with scrambled eggs and spray paint.
Reading hardcover books and stuff. Nobody's going to be doing that.
And, you know, and maybe that is where all the good sci-fi has gone, because I admit I've been lazy. I have not been reading as much as I used to in terms of sci-fi, and I know that there's a lot. My friends keep telling me, they're pushing books on me, and they're going, hey, there's some really good sci-fi. You should read this series. You should read this series.
Yeah, but, like, I have stuff to do, and I can do it on Audible. You know, I can do an MP3 book, but the actual Dead Tree edition of them, I just don't have time. So I guess I won't be in the District 9 with all the dirty, muddy humans.
Shaking
my fist, dancing around a fire.
So tell me, what happened to the party in Sci-Fi Party Line? Where did the party go?
I don't know. I think we kind of depressed people. If you're still here, yeah, you're hardcore.
We appreciate your patronage. You are holding out the hope for sci-fi just like we are.
I'm so sad.
I don't know. We got to start a collection or something. We just... This is heartbreaking.
And on that, maybe that's, I don't know. Let's just stop, because we're going to talk into this. So thank you guys for coming, and see you next time.
Thanks, everybody. Oh, and let me apologize to Eric. I got to apologize to Eric, because I know he's going to be mad at me for us co-opting this to you. I'm sorry, Eric.
He's going to talk about me.
Hey, Carl, that's cool. I don't mind about the SGU talk too much. As a matter of fact, in our next episode, we'll have that later recorded discussion that we had going over SGU again, and also Dollhouse and Flash Forward. Let's see. Looks like now we have a voicemail that came into our show voicemail box. This came from Doug, who's a regular listener and sometimes contributor to the show. He was last heard on Sci-Fi Party Line number 25. That was the Transformer episode. Oh, that was also my debut episode as a contributor. Doug is at Geek Acres on Twitter. And he also has his own podcast called Geek Acres at geekacres.net. Let's listen to that voicemail now, why don't we?
Hey, Kat, it's Doug, and I'm about halfway through the most recent show on surrogates. I gotta say, listening to you and Carl, it's just a lot of fun, you know? I have nothing really to contribute to this conversation aside to say I really enjoy listening to you guys go on about the sci-fi, and looking forward to an opportunity when, you know, maybe I might have something to contribute, perhaps a Star Wars show. I don't know if anybody else out there is watching the new season of the animated Star Wars Clone Wars, but I'd definitely be up for that. Anyway, hope you're having a good week. Talk to you later. Bye.
Wow, Doug, thanks for the awesome feedback. I, for one, would like to talk about Clone Wars, but I'm waiting for the Season 1 Blu-ray to come out on November 3rd, so after that point, I'll try to catch up, and I'd love to have that conversation. If anyone listening out there would also like to leave some feedback, please do. Our show voicemail number is area code 773-336-2686. Please leave some feedback there, and there's a good chance we'll play it in an upcoming show. Also leave feedback on our show page, scifipartyline.com, or on iTunes, or on Facebook page. Yeah. Let's see. Next... we have a promo for Doug's show, Geek Acres, his podcast. Let's listen to that now.
Okay, here we go. .com. No? Oh, okay. .net. No? Aw, come on. How the heck am I going to get info to the listeners about my podcast, Geek Acres? Each week there's info on games, info on websites, and info on all kinds of geeky goodness. 15 minutes each and every week of geeky, info-packed goodness. Chicken scissors. Nah, that's probably taken two. TV info, movie info. Hey, wait a minute. www.geekacres.info. Yes, that's it. Fortuitous finds from the World Wide Web at www.geekacres.info. Wonder if also on iTunes.info is available.
Wow, Doug. I like that. I like that promo. It's pretty catchy. Looks like we're coming to the end of this episode of Sci-Fi After Party today. By the way, how are you guys liking this new addition to the Sci-Fi Party Line lineup? Please let us know. I know I enjoy editing these extra episodes. No, really, it's a lot of fun. And let's see, to close out the show today, I thought I'd play this little song that was pointed out to me on YouTube by Nat, that's @36, spelled out @36 on Twitter. He's one of the co-hosts of a Doctor Who fandom podcast called Bridging the Rift. Anyway, he had tweeted out a link to this song, and I thought it was pretty catchy. It's done by someone calling themselves Ricardo Autobahn, and all the relevant links to, I mean, you should watch the video that goes along with the song, but all the relevant links for Ricardo Autobahn will be posted in the show notes, of course. It's like a dance beat with a mashup of a lot of familiar movie and show quotes. See how many you can recognize. All right, I guess till next time, this is Eric signing out for Kat and Carl. Buena salud.
Suck it, monkeys! I'm going home!
One that's gonna get in trouble, not you.
Bye, everybody.